You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Confederate History Month 2024 continues tonight on TPC. I want to thank all of the listeners over the years who have sent in music for this series. I have gotten to know a lot of new songs like that one, thanks to you, our listening audience. And indeed, this special series continues now with John Hill, the closest living descendant of Confederate Lieutenant General A.P. Hill, Ambrose Powell Hill, returns to the show to share with us the latest updates on his activism. He first became known to us last year, made his first appearance on the show last year, and he now runs the A.P. Hill Legacy Foundation. A.P. Hill Legacy Foundation.org. John, it is great to have you back tonight.
It's awesome to be back.
Well, let's give the audience a little bit more information about you. John Hill, the closest living collateral descendant of Lieutenant General A.P. Hill, you exhumed your ancestors' remains in Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible and tragic and disgusting thing, but thank God you were there. You were his pallbearer at his reinterment. He was buried again, as General Forrest was, reburied again. And A.P. Hill's case in Culpeper, Virginia, in January of 2023. You are his national guardian. You started the A.P. Hill Legacy Foundation in his honor, and you traveled across the country doing presentations on his behalf, letting people know about the life and the history and the gallantry of A.P. Hill. To you, John.
So, long story short, I've been involved with this since May of 2021 with A.P. Hill, and the court case was the in-person court case was September 29th of 2022. They ignored their own state code, saying that the mound he was buried in underneath his monument, which was technically his headstone, they said it had to be persons' remains, multiple persons' remains, to be considered a cemetery. So they said that the monument was just considered a war memorial. It was ordered to be taken down. I drove to Richmond for that court case after working a 12-hour shift. Third shift in steel, that was fun. Trying not to fall asleep on the way back. And then December 12th, the monument was ordered to be taken down, so I drove back to Richmond. I was there on December 12th when the monument was taken down, did some news interviews and stuff. And then December 13th was when we got down to his remains. And there was three large capstones over his remains. Once they removed the first capstone by crane, I saw his casket was completely gone. So it deteriorated. So I stopped the city workers, got a had them get me a tarp so nobody can get any photos of his remains. And then me and the funeral home director exhumed General Hill's remains into a body bag. We brought him to the funeral home in Richmond and put him in a beautiful oak casket. And I draped the unreconstructed Virginia flag over his casket.
God bless you for that. This ghoulish thing, the left, if you don't believe that they hate you and they want you dead, they're not just coming for your stone, your monuments, or your fabric, your flags. They are coming for your very flesh and blood and bones, and they have on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
And thank God there is one man willing to stand in defense of his ancestor, A.P. Hill, and that's John Hill, and he's on the show right now, and he's telling you all about it. What motivated you to do that, John?
Well, first off, you know, my love for the Confederacy and my Southern heritage and everything, but also because he's kin. So, I mean, I'm his closest descendant. He had no direct descendants, that are left. He had four daughters. Two died in childhood, unfortunately. Two lived to adulthood. Both got married but never had kids. So I'm actually triple related to him through three of my family lines. Obviously, my Hill lineage and also my Russell line and my Bledsoe line also go to General Hill. So I'm triple related to him. And honestly, you know, being his National Guardian and everything, I go to his grave probably twice a month. Anytime I'm near Virginia or in Virginia, you know, doing presentations or cleaning cemeteries, I always stop by, and there's Sean's Barbecue, which is right across from Fairview Cemetery. So I usually go there, get dinner, and I go sit at AP Hill's grave and eat my dinner with General Hill. But I mean, I would die to protect his grave if I had to.
Well, and that as a father, you could only hope that your descendants will have the same reverence and affection for you one day that you have for your ancestor. And God bless you again for that. Ladies and gentlemen, last year, almost a year to the day, John, was your first appearance on this program. I'm looking back at the broadcast archives as we speak live right now. It was April
with the 15th. Rebel Sun, too. Yeah, with the Rebel Sun music, too. It brings back memories.
Oh, you know that song. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I've been listening to them for years.
How about that? Well, it shouldn't surprise me. But it was April 15th of 2023 that we had John Hill on for the first time. Now, we spent an entire hour. We're not doing that tonight. We have you on for 30 minutes. Quick update. Mm-hmm. But we spent an entire hour with you, and the reason I'm making a point to mention this is because I want everybody who missed it to go back to the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org, do a search in our archives for John Hill's name, and you will find on April the 15th of 2023, we did a full hour on the biography of A.P. Hill. It was so enlightening because you think of all of the Confederate generals, and, you know, unfortunately, A.P. Hill isn't one of the ones that rings off, you know, right at the tip of your tongue, like Lee or Forrest or Jackson. But he made a huge impact, and thank you for bringing that back to the attention of the public. Quick Cliff's Notes version that you can find, and I encourage you to go here, ladies and gentlemen, and support the work, and we'll talk more about the work in the next segment. A.P. Hill, LegacyFoundation.org. Let's talk a little bit about Lee's no longer forgotten general, Cliff's Notes version here during the War for Southern Independence. He resigned his commission from the U.S. Army on March the 1st, 1861, A.P. Hill did. He stated that he could not engage in a war against his native state, but that he would, quote, defend her to the death, end quote. He was appointed colonel of the 13th Virginia Infantry on May 9th, 1861. He was promoted to Brigadier General on February 26, 1862, Major General on May 26, 1862, and Lieutenant General on May 26, 1863. He went on to become one of Lee's favorite and best generals in the War of Northern Aggression, and he saved the day for the Army of Northern Virginia in many battles throughout the war. We talked about that at length last year, and he survived all the way up until nearly the final hour, literally just days before Appomattox when he fell in battle.
Exactly 1 week before, 7 days. I just can't believe, you know, and the story of how he died, too. I get into that in my presentations. We won't have time tonight. But the story that was told about how he died is actually incorrect. And I tell the real version of how he died and exactly what happened in my presentations.
Well, we got two or three minutes left before the break. What can you tell us about that? I know the story, but I want you to share it again.
It was Sergeant Tucker who was with him, his courier. And the story is that Sergeant Tucker said that Hill, when they came across those two Yankees, one of them was John Mauck of the 138th Pennsylvania Infantry, that it was Hill that ordered them to surrender. It was actually Tucker. Tucker rode, he saw them. Hill was going to keep riding. It's a couple Yankees. He doesn't care. It's just two. But Tucker went over and ordered them to surrender. Hill spurred his horse to go see what was going on. He didn't see as he rode up, they had their rifles drawn. Sergeant Tucker panicked and reached for Hill's horse's bridle and grabbed it. When he did that, Hill's horse spooked, and Hill pulled back on the reins and was distracted, and they both fired. And John Mauck's bullet hit A.P. Hill's thumb, blew his thumb off, went through his heart, and came out his back. the reason why I blew his thumb off, because he had his hands up trying to pull back on the reins of his horse because of Sergeant Tucker spooking his horse. William H. Palmer, AP Hill's chief of staff, is the his story is how I know what really happened, because Dolly wrote that AP Hill's thumb was blown off when she looked at his wedding ring. On his left hand, his thumb was missing. That made me wonder. And then William H. Palmer saying that Sergeant Tucker's story conveniently changed from the day it happened to when he told his story in the Southern Historical Society papers years later. So it was because of Palmer, I actually found out after months of research too, what really happened. And Tucker actually became an alcoholic after the war, because it was in the back of his head that, you know, he's the reason Hill got shot.
Between that and the guy who shot Stonewall, I mean, can you imagine? But he gave it all. Yeah. He gave it his all until the last full measure a week before the end of the war. The South didn't lose that war. America lost that war. We were right,
yes,
and we are still right. And we're back with one of the great descendants of one of the great generals, John Hill. Stay tuned. Hey, friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests include contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America. Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity. The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
They fought for us, ladies and gentlemen. They gave their lives for us. How can we do anything less than 1 month of the year on a talk radio show in 2024 give them their just due? And this is something we have done since the very inception of this program. Confederate History Month is a mainstay. March Around the World, we only started 4 or 5 years ago. Confederate History Month we've always done, and for good reason. And back with us now is John Hill, the closest living descendant of Lieutenant General A.P. Hill of the Confederate States Army. And what a great show it was last year when we had John on for the first time during Confederate History Month to give a real deep dive into the life and times and battles of A.P. Hill. John, since then, you've been on the show for repeat appearances, and you and I mm-hmm. had the opportunity to get together in Alabama last year. You and I both spoke at an event in Alabama, and then we had the opportunity, along with Jared Taylor and Brad Griffin and John Hill, of, John Friend of the American Free Press, all of us We toured Selma, Alabama. What do you remember about that trip, John?
Well, Selma was a beautiful little town, wasn't it? With the African American Fountain of Wisdom or Knowledge or something like that. It had poop in it, that was great in Selma.
It was sewage.
The only good thing about that was
sewage
that Confederate cemetery. Yeah.
Well, that's actually, I'm sorry, you know, you're preempting me as if we share the same mind, which I guess to an extent there's definitely some common threads there. But I was going to mention that was one of the things that I marveled about. So we went to the Confederate Cemetery in Selma, Alabama. There's a beautiful monument to Forrest there. He fought in the Battle of Selma there right at the end of the whole thing. And you went straight to work. You went straight to work cleaning graves and polishing monuments and things like that. And you do that all across the country. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah. Also, that was the funny thing in Selma was me and Jared Taylor cleaned the bird poop off of General Forrest's face.
Well, I think somebody in our travel party asked Jared, they said, Jared, are you sure you want to touch that? Because he had like a little... It was hot as hell that day. That was one of the last hot days of summer, but boy, was it hot. It was about 100% humidity, 105 degrees, and I mean, we were all just drenched. And there were some bird droppings on the bust of General Forrest there. And Jared just gets up there, you know, with his bare hands and starts scrubbing it off. And somebody in our travel party said, Jared, you know, you sure you want to do that? He said he would have done it for me.
Yeah.
He did a lot more than that for us. I got a picture of that, by the way. Yeah, there was actually some great things in Montgomery. We went to Montgomery, too, the Jefferson Davis Monument. There's some of the most beautiful Confederate monuments I've ever seen still to this day stand on the grounds of the Alabama State Capitol in Montgomery, a stone's throw away from the Southern Poverty Law Center building and the Church of the King. You can call it preaching if you so choose. Did his business at, but that was a magnificent trip. You gave your presentation on AP Hill. I gave a talk. Jared gave a talk. But it was the next day, the day after the conference, that we did all the touring of downtown Montgomery and then down into Selma. And I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Well, talk a little bit more, John. You were mentioning it. Not only are you raising awareness about the life and times of AP Hill, who it certainly deserves a much greater amount of recognition for what he was as a general. I mean, he should be up there with the best of the best, and you're doing a lot to raise awareness of that. But you also, as you say, if you're within a stone's throw of a cemetery that has Confederate graves, you pull over and you go and clean up the place.
Yeah. So what I feel it's my duty for them, you know, dying and fighting and dying for our freedom and for us, the least I can do is take care of their graves. So in between presentations or even just separate trips, I go and clean Confederate graves, flag them. I always give them a salute. I play Dixie for them. I get down. I've gotten down on my hands and knees in Kentucky and almost passed out because it was another 100-degree day. It was 68 graves in a cemetery in Kentucky, Confederate graves, that they didn't weed whack or anything around the Confederate section. And I didn't have any equipment in my car because I didn't know I was going to come across one that bad. So I got down on my hands and knees and was pulling, basically mowing the grass with my hands and pulling weeds. And I got a real big pile of weeds and grass. And also there was like 18 U.S. flags on the Confederate graves. So I took up all the U.S. flags and I put down battle flags for them and cleaned the whole 68 grave section. And that's what I like to do. Instead of going to events or picnics or stuff like that, I like going and being in the cemetery with the soldiers, because what we're doing, the Sons of Confederate Veterans and all these organizations, we're honoring the men that are in those graves. So what better way to honor them than by taking care of their graves? And I also have a storage unit full of Confederate documents. I have an original 1861 copy of the Confederate Constitution that was printed in Montgomery, Alabama. I have a big Robert E. Lee collection, my Hill collection. So preserving the relics and the history of the Confederacy and taking care of their graves to me, is the biggest honor we can do to them, for them.
Can you imagine, John? I mean, here I am. I have a family, and I am raising my kids to believe exactly as I believe, and it's a privilege to be able to do that, and I have a wife that's 100% on board mm-hmm. all the way. But it's almost impossible to imagine that 160 years from now, one of my descendants will be coming and cleaning my grave. I mean, it just doesn't normally happen like that. But it's something to strive for. It's something to strive for, and it's something that is being done for the men who deserve it. Very quickly, up came Hill. What does that mean?
That I just love that phrase, too, because that's the first time, the first account that they have, probably the only account of two generals embracing on the field when A.P. Hill force marched his men from Harper's Ferry to Sharpsburg, 17 miles to save the day, and Lee wrote, up came Hill. But it was just when Hill rode up and jumped off his horse to go talk to Lee, they said Lee ran over and embraced him, gave him a hug right there in the field because he was so happy that Hill came to save the day. And they didn't realize that it was Hill and his men because A.P. Hill had a lot of his men get the Union surplus uniforms and stuff before leaving Harper's Ferry. So from a distance, they saw a bunch of bluecoats coming. And they looked through their looking glass and they said, no, it's General Hill, because they saw him in his shirt. And that's when Lee said, up came Hill, because they knew coming over the hill was General Hill and his men, even though a lot of them were in blue coats. But
which they had to do. They wore whatever they could find. I mean, this is.
Yeah, they got brand new uniforms.
Outnumbered and out supplies, but never outfought. We have to say that. Outnumbered and out supplied, but never outfought. Can you imagine being there on the battlefield? Oh, my God. Could you imagine seeing Lee and Hill together embracing like that as brothers and as comrades and fighting for a cause greater than themselves? This is what mm-hmm. this series is all about. Now, one more thing, John. I know you mm-hmm. are working to erect a new monument, not just to your ancestor, but to a hero for all of us in the South and beyond, General A.P. Hill. What's the progress on that, and how can people support it at aphilllegacyfoundation.org?
I have my PayPal that you can donate to. It's paypal.me/saveourheritage. And I also have a P.O. box. It is A.P. Hill Legacy Foundation, P.O. Box 261, Avon Lake, Ohio, 44012. And something I haven't announced yet in public is that Henry Kidd, who's a famous artist in Virginia, is going to be doing the rendering of my monument design. And we're going to be have some prints that we can sell for fundraising. And he's going to be doing a small clay statue of my design as well. So I can travel with that and show people. And one other thing I did finish is a headstone for A.P. Hill's last daughter, because Dolly was pregnant when A.P. Hill got shot. She gave birth June 6, 1865, to their last daughter. She named her Ann Powell Hill, so she'd have the same initials as her father. After a lot of research, I found her unmarked grave in the Lexington Cemetery right by Dolly and one of their other daughters, Little Russie. So she had an unmarked grave for 156 years. I got the money together, and I had a headstone made for her, and I'm going to have it installed in June for her birthday. Because she died April 3rd, 1868. So she died right before her third birthday. So she was a toddler when she passed. And she never had a headstone. So I'm going to make sure she's going to have a headstone. And I'll give you details on that. It's going to be a smaller get-together, but you're more than welcome to come. I'll send you details on that. And the monument, once I have the rendering done and the clay model, I'll be going public with that. And the monument's going to cost about $70,000 to $80,000. So anything helps, any donation, $5, $10, $50, anything anybody can give, it all adds up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this. I did this for Dries Van Langenhoven. The reason I don't have any money is because we're all in this together. I support the other people just like we ask you to support us and them as well. But I made a contribution to Dries Van Langenhoven, who's facing just criminal injustice in Europe. I'm going to make a donation right now at aphilllegacyfoundation.org. aphilllegacyfoundation.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. You can donate $50. There's a little link that says buy now. You can see a picture of John Hill with the Weed Eater, cleaning up Confederate graves, building monuments, and flying the flag. We'll be right back. AP Hill Legacy Foundation.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said on Saturday that the chamber will vote on Israel legislation next week in the wake of Iran launching an aerial attack. This as U.S. forces are helping take down Iranian drones headed toward Israel. On Saturday, Iran began a retaliatory attack after an area near its embassy in Syria was attacked by Israeli forces this week. Iran releasing a statement saying their attack on Israel can be deemed concluded, adding in a statement, should the Israeli regime make another mistake, Iran's response will be considerably more severe. President Biden is in Washington, D.C. and has met with his cabinet to discuss the attack, the White House saying they stand with the people of Israel after reports of the attack. As far as what this means for the United States, former ambassador to the United Nations, Mark Ginsburg, tells MSNBC.
Bottom line is that combined with Hezbollah and Iran's ballistic missile and cruise missile capacity, Israel's air defenses certainly cannot stop that type of onslaught.
O.J. Simpson's estate says it doesn't plan on paying in his civil trial judgment from 1997. Although Simpson was acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman in 1995, a civil court found him liable for the deaths 2 years later and ordered him to pay $33 million to the victims' families. Police are continuing to search for answers after six people were stabbed in Sydney, Australia, during a stabbing rampage. Police in Sydney saying the attack happened at a busy shopping center Saturday when a man suddenly began stabbing people with a knife. Five people died at the scene and another died later at the hospital. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you a marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Johnny Reb, you fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Amen, they did. And it's something, isn't it? When Johnny Horton had that hit back in the 1950s, early 60s, they still spoke highly of their names. They did. This transition that we have suffered through is very recent history, certainly much more recent than the time that was spent between the end of the war and the century that followed. And but we continue to reconcile it here on TPC. And I think this show, as we continue Confederate History Month coverage in 2024, is a wonderful cross-section of all of the people and all of the kinds of men who are fighting for the Southern way of life and to preserve and protect and defend and advance the memories of their ancestors. You had Michael Hill in the last hour from the League of the South fighting these battles from an organizational perspective. John Hill, the closest living descendant of Lieutenant General A.P. Hill, fighting it in the very graveyards, erecting new monuments, cleaning graves. We're doing it here in broadcast media. And now, of course, joining us, making his annual Confederate History Month appearance, Kirk Lyons, a man who fights it in the Yankee courts still to this day. Kirk Lyons is the co-founder and chief trial counsel for the Southern Legal Resource Center. That's a nonprofit public law corporation that offers legal support to defend the First Amendment, violations of civil rights, and discrimination against advocates of Southern heritage. And he's back with us right now to talk about his latest battles. Still to this day, we carry on, we persist. Do we not, Kirk? How are you tonight, brother? Great to have you back.
David, always so good to talk to you. Hear your voice and hear your broadcast.
Well, it's always made better by you.
The courts are worse than Yankee courts. It's it's gotten much worse than that. We're now fighting in Joe Stalin's courts.
Well, you know, you're right about that.
Let's
just take a quick moment about that you're actually really onto something. Because the Yankees found no fault in Nathan Bedford Forrest. You know, you hear all of the war propaganda about the alleged atrocities at Fort Pillow. They tried him for that and found him not guilty. The Yankee courts were far more fair and just than the courts today.
I mean, all those 1848ers that fled Germany and brought socialism to the United States, they have multiplied. And it started in the Republican Party, but it is now just consumed. You know, they started on us and ending our culture and ending our flag and ending our symbols, but they've now moved on. We were just the low-hanging fruit. They're now moving on to Columbus and Yankee generals and Lewis and Clark and every president since Washington. And,
well, it's every white man. I mean, a rabid dog doesn't differentiate. I mean, they went after the Massachusetts regiment that was made famous in the movie Glory. They went after that. They went after Lincoln.
They sure did. Robert Gould Shaw, the 54th Massachusetts. They vandalized his massive monument on Boston Common.
See, this is it.
That's amazing.
I mean, they get it. I mean, and they get it in Europe, too. They went after Churchill. I mean, can you imagine two more odious white men than Churchill and Lincoln? And they're going after all of them because they see it in the lens of us and them only. And it doesn't matter if you know, this is something that one of our friends is so right about. You can be a traitor to your people and a traitor to your cause. They will never erect monuments to you. They are going to erect monuments, and I think healthily and rightly so, in their defense and credit. The mob will erect monuments to their heroes. A sellout and a traitor will never be a hero to anybody. And all of these people who betrayed their birthrights and betrayed their patrimony to curry favor with the current social class or the current prevailing tides or winds regime, they're not going to be remembered. They didn't raise monuments to the white justices on the Supreme Court when Brown versus Board was advanced. They raised monuments to King. They raised monuments to their people.
Yeah, that's right.
And
so
there's something
the
to learn about that.
The useful idiots will be the first ones to go when the Bolsheviks take over. They'll be the first ones in the ditch. You and me might be lucky enough to get into a gulag somewhere, but they'll be face down in a ditch somewhere with their hands tied behind their back with a small caliber bullet in the back of their head. That's how the Bolsheviks operate.
Well, and if we're right there beside them, there'll be one difference. We'll be there with a bullet in our head with honor. They won't be. And I'll take that honor. Now, and you fight with it, Kirk. Again, to go into these courts in this day and age knowing in advance, and I learned so much. I mean, I got to admit, 7 years ago, I thought, you know, the law was the law, and they might not like us, but the law was the law. And I learned a lot during my libel lawsuit, and I don't think that way anymore.
I'll bet you did. The neat thing, though, is that other lawyers are stuff, and a lot of the heritage groups are now finally figuring out how we have to fight these things in the courts. Once we found out that the President of the United States can't even get justice in the United States court, you know, what chance do we have? Well, what you have to do is you have to do a combined arms operation. You've got to have the Air Force, you've got to have the Marines and the Navy and the Army all on one team fighting in their different spheres. And that's what we've done in the Arlington case, which is my big case right now. And the Sons of Confederate Veterans have also filed a lawsuit, and they were consolidated. But we're all fighting. Everybody has a way they can fight. They can give money. They can call their Congress critter or Congress thing or whatever he is and chew him out. And then we have the lawyers doing what they do in the lawsuits. And then we have the Administrative Procedures Act that we're fighting them on, and we pack the meetings with our people. And every single Arlington meeting we've had, the pro-monument people have outnumbered the anti-monument people about 30 to 1. And that just tells the Bolsheviks that they have these people have broad public support. And so we fight them every way we can. And we might actually get somebody. We got to get more people out there calling their Congress thing or Congress senator, you know, their Congress critter. They've got to call them and chew them out. And I got a special call that every Virginian on your radio show needs to call Youngkin, that weaselly, cowardly, stupid party governor, GOP governor of Virginia, who was given the chance to veto the bill that takes away the tax-exempt status of the United Daughters of the Confederacy. And he could have just vetoed it, and that would have been that. And we put pressure on him to do that with many, many, many phone calls. Well, the weaselly little slime just sent it back to the House of Delegates and says it needs to be amended. He could have just vetoed it, been a man and vetoed it, but no, he sent it back to him. So if they pass it again, it may very well become law, and the little slime won't veto it. But Virginians, if you're a Virginian, call the governor's office and tell that little slime that if the UDC loses its tax-exempt status, the voters are going to hold him responsible. And that's how everybody listening to this radio broadcast can help. And they need to do that, and they need to do it regularly, and they need to call their congressman about Arlington and tell them, put the monument back up. We don't care how you do it, but put it back up or else. And you need to not be nice about it. You need to be polite. You need to be professional, but just barely. And you need to tell them, hey, you need to put the Arlington Monument and Arlington National Cemetery back up so that I can remember to vote for your reelection in the fall. How about that? And that's why we need to treat these people. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people need to do it. And that's how the fighting has changed. And we've raised more money in the Arlington Reconciliation Memorial case than I think we've ever raised in any other lawsuit. But it's also far and away more expensive than any lawsuit we've ever fought. So we're doing the appeal brief now, the Clinton judge.
All right, sit tight, Kirk. We got one more segment to close
tight.
The show. Sit tight, my friend. And when we come back, we're going to give you much more information. We're going to unpack all of these details. You're wondering, what exactly is he talking about? We're going to tell you. We're going to tell you more about the work of the Southern Legal Resource Center and how he's been fighting from Texas to Washington, D.C., on behalf of our people in court. Stay tuned. Hey, friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests include contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America. Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity. The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Back with Kirk Lyons of the Southern Legal Resource Center. As I mentioned before the break, Kirk has fought on behalf of our cause in the courts. We're talking about people who fight it in the streets, organizationally, on the air, in the cemeteries, in the courts, you name it. We're going to have them on this month. That's what we do here in April on TPC. And Kirk Lyons is a mainstay of our Confederate History Month series and beyond. I mean, a good friend throughout the year, to be sure. But, Kirk, you know, you have no illusions. You know what the courts are. You, as you said, they're worse than Yankee courts. It's much, much worse than that. How do we fare? I mean, obviously, we lose. Do we ever do any good in the courts?
It's a nonviolent forum, and they are not shooting our attorneys from the bench with a handgun yet. You know, so we can still go in there and still plan on coming out alive or not being jailed for some kind of J6 infraction. That may be coming. But right now, it is still a non-violent, viable place where we can advocate and at least bring our cases. And they're not shooting us yet.
Have you noticed any differences between, I mean, obviously this case in Arlington, and I want to get back to that and focus on it. This is, the, as you said, the big legal battle right now on this front. That's Washington, D.C., though. I mean, that have you noticed any differences?
Because we're in the belly of the beast.
You have participated in court and in these cases from Texas throughout the heart of Dixie and on through the eastern border. Have you noticed any difference with regards to the rulings and the opinions in any cases you've had in the rural South versus, you know, some of these places that are deep blue? Are there any differences in the court there? Does rule of law, is the rule of law abided by more in certain districts than others? Have you noticed any of that?
I think that the D.C. District Court, like the Eastern District of Virginia, is a very highly politicized venue. That's pretty much where we had to bring the case, and the SCV as well. And, of course, we were consolidated. And you have a plethora of Democratic-appointed judges that are still in power there. You can get Republican judge. And we actually got a Republican judge in our Arlington case when we tried to file a temporary restraining order to keep them from the army from tearing down the monument. But the Trump judge was worse than a Democratic judge. He didn't get it at all. He didn't get it at all. And so we were thinking, well, we might have had a chance. This guy was a Trump appointee. But one of the things,
because you had Trump during his first administration praising Robert E. Lee and defending the names of the military bases named after Confederates. You would have thought maybe, but no, the cocktail party reigns supreme.
Yeah, and one of the things that I have noticed is the very low quality a lot of the judicial nominees that go before being approved to be federal judges, being appellate court judges to be Supreme Court justices. I mean, we've got a Supreme Court justice, this last one, Ketanji Jackson, whatever her name is, completely unfit to be a door clerk in a hot dog shop. You know, she's completely incompetent.
Kirk, this actually ties back to, and I appreciate you mentioning this because I want to close with a little more information about the SLRC, or your current battle in court over the Arlington Monument, and we got to make haste to do it all. But this goes back to what we were talking about in the very first hour. We were talking about, you know, the solar eclipse happened on Monday, and you had a sitting United States Representative, Sheila Jackson Lee, in Houston.
Oh, my favorite Congress critter. Yeah.
Her district lies within that path of totality that we witnessed on Monday, and here she was
talking about the gases.
Yeah, you saw that. She was saying the moon is made of gas, and the of this.
Yeah.
And she's the top Democrat
if
in the
woman
House.
Had a brain, she'd be dangerous.
Well, that's the thing. We're lucky that her IQ isn't more than that, because that only makes her more potent. But she is the top. She was the top Democrat on the House Committee on Space, as a subcommittee on space. So, that's the truth.
What they left out was that was space between her ears.
Well, but she graduated from Yale and got her law degree from the University of Virginia with a degree from Yale.
Now we know that anybody can do that if she can.
Not anybody.
Get a law degree, anybody can.
Try to be a qualified young white man getting into to Yale and see. But any event, but no, I mean, yeah, you got Ketanji Jackson Brown, and so you're running into a lot of this in the courts. Very quickly, Kirk, we should have gone an hour with you tonight, but give me 60 seconds on the mission of the Southern Legal Resource Center, and then close it on the current battle in Arlington and where we stand.
The Southern Legal Resource Center is a vindicator of American liberty through Southern liberty and traditional American liberty. And that's what we fight for. We have specialized in fighting for student free speech, parades, Confederate organizations. And our belief was that if their rights are secure, everybody's rights are secure. And so now we see what has happened in that is that now that, you know, our enemies are, you know, finishing up on us, they've now gone on to every other part of normal America, just like we said they would, and nobody listened to us outside of the Confederate community. But we will keep fighting because we're in this for the long haul. We're for American liberty, Southern, which is Southern liberty, mostly the architect of Southern men and the Southern founding fathers. And so we'll just continue to fight, and our big case right now is Arlington National Cemetery. We're fighting on three fronts, the legal one, political, and administrative, and everybody can help. You can send a very generous donation because this is expensive fighting, and you can also call your congressman and demand that they put the Reconciliation Memorial of 1914 back up. And so we're hope to stay, keep our head above water while we're fighting, and we join, we ask all Southerners of goodwill and all Americans of goodwill to join with us. We need lots of allies, and we're starting to find them in some of these northern groups, like those Italian Americans that are fighting for Christopher Columbus statues. They're in the same boat we are, and we're making allies, and they're starting to get it. Normal America outside of the South is starting to get it. We just got to keep pushing on and keep pushing on as long as we have breath in our body and ability to stay outside of a gulag.
Well, that amount of time will remain to be seen. But so long as there is breath in us, we will continue to fight and do our duty, as General Lee said. Kirk Lyons is the co-founder and chief trial counsel for the Southern Legal Resource Center. You know, he has for decades been fighting these battles in courts. Hey, you know, as they say, win some, lose some. We're going up against stacked odds, but we are still fighting, and we're fighting on all fronts. As I said, I mean, the guests we've had on tonight are fighting on multiple fronts and in different ways and in their own ways, and they're all worthy and deserving of your support. Kirk, how can people find out more about the Southern Legal Resource Center and support?
They can join us on Facebook, and they can send us a donation and get on our newsletter list. By our mailing address is P.O. Box 1235, Black Mountain, North Carolina, 28711. You can call us at 828-712-2115 with your question or how you can support us. Or you can go to our website, which is not much of a website anymore, I'm afraid, but you can make a donation there, and that's www.slrc-csa.org. You can also email me at kdl@slrc-csa.org. And if you want to help, if you want to work, call us and we'll tell you how you can. And if your last name is Rockefeller, boy, do we need to talk to you. So, you know, stay involved, stay in the fight. There are other organizations that we're working with. We have several coalitions working, mostly centered around Defend Arlington, and they're doing a lot of great work. Check out defendarlington.org. They have a widget that would allow you to send an email to each of your senators and your congressmen. It's another way you can hammer those clowns on Arlington.
All right.
We're going to get that dadgum statue back up if it hair lifts the whole entire universe, and it might.
Well, and so be it if it does, and we'd be the better for it. SLRC-CSA.org. I am there right now. Quick and easy button. Support the cause. Donate today. Can you imagine how much you'd have to hate someone, how much you'd have to hate a people to not only remove the statues of their heroes, but to remove a statue of even reconciliation? That is the battle Kirk Lyons and the Southern Legal Resource Center are fighting right now in Arlington, Virginia. SLRC-CSA.org. Kirk, God bless you. God save the South. Happy Confederate History and Heritage Month. Thank you for coming on again with us tonight. Can't wait to talk to you again. Always good to talk to you.